All right, we have figured it out. Lisa, it's all your fault.
I'm
it's always Lisa's fault.
I will not accept
the
blame.
She discombobulated the classic radio shows.
All right, we're back with Dimension
which
X.
Which means you need, let's see, what can we do, Lisa?
You'll have to cut
how can
my
we,
pay.
We'll have
you're going to have to give me $1 instead of $2.
Let's
this
cut
week.
Your pay down to 50 cents.
Okay, I'm willing to accept that.
All right, so it's time for an adult Western. You're going to sci-fi. You're going to love this. It's called Dimension X. June 3rd, 1950, the embassy. Here's part one.
Adventures in time and space, told in future tense. Dimension. Out of the infinitude of stars and planets in the solar system and other systems in the universe, it is almost mathematically certain that there exist other forms of life on other worlds. Someday, in the future, in 1,000 years, or in the next 10 minutes, daring travelers through space will make contact with the inhabitants of another world. But the question is, will we contact them first, or will they contact us?
Come in.
This is Broderick's private detective agency.
Check.
My name is Gratius. Gratius of Springfield. I would like to see you, Mr. Broderick.
Check.
What is it, Dolan?
There's a guy outside.
What kind of a guy?
Oh, a great big guy with a big shining head and thick glasses like the bottoms of Coca-Cola bottles. And he looks like a professor or
what
something.
What I mean is, does he look like a client or a bill collector?
He didn't say.
Okay, Iron Man, send him in.
Check. Mr. Grafius, Mr. Broderick will see you.
Thank you.
Mr. Broderick.
In the flesh. Okay, Iron Man, step outside.
Check. If you need me, I'll be outside.
I'll have to excuse Mr. Doolin. He's a very useful man if you happen to want a house moved or somebody's head unscrewed from their shoulders. His reflexes aren't too good. He's what you might call underorganized.
I suspected as much.
All right, Mr. Grafius, let's get down to business.
Precisely. I would like your assistance in helping me locate something here in New York City.
Just what are you trying to locate, Mr. Grafius?
The Martian embassy.
Would you say that again very slowly?
I came to New York to locate the Martian embassy.
Martian? Like in Buck Rogers?
Precisely. Agents of the government of the planet of Mars.
Dolan!
What's the trouble, boss?
Throw him out. He's a crackpot.
Of course, if you wish me to leave, I will leave. But before I go, you might examine this. You'll find it quite authentic.
Holy mackerel. A 5th century note.
Let me see that. Sit down, Mr. Grafius. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Dolan, get Mr. Grafius a light.
Check.
Okay, Mr. Grafius. Your remarks about our speckled friends, the Martians, I shall ignore. This being the year 1955, I assume you were joking.
On the contrary, I'm completely serious. As it happens, I'm interested only in Martians at the moment.
I see. Okay, shoot.
It occurred to me in the course of my studies that we Earth people cannot possibly be the only intelligent form of life in the universe. Out of the infinitude of stars and planets, there must definitely, mathematically, be others. Since Mars is older geologically, and since it is also an atmospheric planet, its evolutionary history could easily be similar to ours. You follow me?
So far, I can't say no.
But if this is true, then they must have been watching us, observing us, for hundreds, possibly thousands of years.
What for? Blackmail?
Shut up, Dolan.
They know, then, that we are not far from achieving space travel. Atomic rocket ships that can travel to other planets. They also know we're a militaristic, warlike race. We might conceivably set out to conquer and occupy Mars one day.
In which case, they'd try to get the jump on us.
Precisely, Mr. Broderick.
And how would they do that?
For a civilization as old as theirs, space travel would be a simple enough matter.
Flying saucers. I read about
it. Relax, Iron Man. Go on, Mr. Graffius.
If you were planning to attack an unknown nation, what would be your first move, Mr. Broderick?
Intelligence. Find out what the odds are.
You have a very logical mind, sir. You would send agents to scout the nerve centers of earthly civilization and advancement. Not in Kansas City or Equatorial Africa, my dear sir, but here in New York City. The most technically advanced spot on Earth.
Uh-huh. And, you want me to help you prove this theory of yours?
Precisely. Expense does not interest me.
Well, this may take a very long, long time, Mr. Graffius. After all, nobody's ever seen a Martian.
I assure you, they will be very ordinary appearing people. Very likely they live together in downtown New York, close to the newspapers and publishers, the news cables, communication centers, and the financial center of Wall Street. Most certainly they live in a private house with no servants to pry into their affairs.
Some ordinary people who live in a private house in downtown New York.
Yes.
I might just as well look up Martians in the classified section of the phone book.
There is one other lead which might help you.
What's that?
They would be almost certain to subscribe to every conceivable type of newspaper, scientific journal, foreign language publication.
Mm-hmm. Well, that might be something. Okay, Mr. Graffius. It's a deal.
Excellent. I shall contact you tomorrow.
Oh, before you leave.
Yes?
Just as a matter of interest. Why are you so interested in meeting up with these Martians?
Mr. Broderick, I wish to avert the catastrophe of a successful Martian invasion of the Earth. Naturally. I cannot go to the police or the military. I'd be laughed out of existence. So I'm doing this privately.
You seem to know all the answers, Mr. Graffius.
Not all of them, Mr. Broderick. Not quite all the answers. Not quite yet.
Boss, here's a private address. Takes everything from Pick Magazine to the Manchester Guardian. Listen to this. Pick, Look, Scientific America, the Daily News, the Daily Worker, the Police Gazette, the Journal of Engineering, Scientific Quarterly, American Psychiatric Journal.
Let me see that. Oh, Doolin. Doolin, sometimes I wonder. What's the address on this?
9 West 124th Street.
Which happens to be the Harlem branch of the public library.
Oh.
Now listen, Noodle Brain. Check all the renting agents. Find out every private house in downtown New York. And then cross-check with the magazine subscription departments of the scientific magazines. You got that?
Check.
I wonder.
Boss, what's the sense of all this? We know there ain't no Martian embassy in New York.
This crackpot is paying us $100 a day, and we gotta keep him happy. Understand?
Yeah.
Also, I've got a hunch that Mr. Graffius isn't looking for any Martian embassies. He's looking for something quite different. I'll start making with a telephone. Which house is it, Doolin?
Right down there. Number 108.
Did you find out anything?
Not a thing. I've been watching the place for a week now. Nobody comes out. Nobody goes in. I asked around. Nobody knows nothing.
You ain't been blabbing around the neighborhood that we're looking for the Martian embassy, have you?
Boss, I'm stupid. But I ain't that stupid.
Who'd you talk to?
I struck up what you might call a casual acquaintanceship with those two girls standing with the baby carriages up the street. The cute one is real cute.
Mm. Now look, Doolin, don't try to do anything intelligent. Just keep walking up and down. See?
Check.
I'm going back to the office to meet Graffius.
See you later, boss. Hiya, beautiful.
Hiya, Flatfoot.
How did you know I was a detective?
Your socks are bagging at the arches.
Well, stick around, beautiful. I'll be back in a few minutes, and we can make some beautiful music together.
Listen to Romeo, Helen.
The name is Doolin, honey. Iron Man Dolan.
Your line is getting rusty, Iron Man.
What do you want to fool around with him for?
He reminds me of my husband. Just a big, good-natured slobby. Helen. Helen, look. Oh, hey, Dolan. Dolan, look out. Look out. Helen?
Waiting, Mr. Graffius.
Not at all,
Joe. Dolan found a house down in Greenwich Village, privately rented. Number 108 Conklin Street. Nobody seems to know anything about who lives there, except that they subscribe to every paper and scientific journal put out. And also they have a peculiar antenna on the roof.
You don't suppose your Mr. Dolan will try to get inside the house?
No, he knows better.
Mr. Broderick, I assure you, if that place is the Martian embassy...
Dolan can take care of himself.
Still, I wish you had informed me before.
Well, that's probably him reporting back now. Excuse me. Hello? Yeah, speaking. Dolan? Yeah, he works. What? Oh, no. No, I can't think of any. Yeah, sure, okay. Yeah, I'll be right down. Okay, Lieutenant. Yeah, right away.
Something the matter?
Dolan is dead, Mr. Graffius.
What?
They found him splattered all over the sidewalk in front of number 108 Conklin Street.
How did it happen?
There were some witnesses. They said a building cornice dropped on him.
A cornice? But how?
It fell off the building next to 108, right on top of him. Come on, we can get a cab. I have to identify the body.
All right, that's the first portion of Dimension X, which was really radio's premier series of adult science fiction. It's called The Embassy, starring Joe DeSantis, from June 3rd, 1950. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with Tom Skilling. Weeknights on WGN TV News at 10. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Carl Amari. Lisa Wolf next to me over here. And what are you wearing there?
Oh, it's a vest from Oakley. I just bought it this week.
Yeah, you mean you bought it with my money. So I bought Lisa a Christmas present. She took it back. She exchanged it. She didn't like it.
He told me it was very masculine.
It was masculine? Well,
it was like a black men's jacket.
No, it was from the female section of Oakley.
It looked like men. So I bought something a little more form-fitted.
Looks nice on
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Carl.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right. Very cool, Lisa Wolf. All right, so it's what we do here. Classic radio shows. We play, oh my gosh, all your favorites. The Shadow, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen. Yeah?
We
Did
do,
you want to say something?
I was going to say that we have somebody, a lot of people who posted on our Facebook this week with specific requests. We love that.
Yeah.
They're asking for some comedies. And you know, Carl, that happens to be my favorite area.
You know what? We have no comedies
on tonight. I noticed that. And people are asking for more comedies. A little R. Miss Brooks and
Let me see what we're doing tomorrow.
Burns and Allen.
Well, tomorrow, no comedies either.
So we need to laugh a little bit, Carl.
I must be like Debbie Downer. I'm not playing any comedies.
You said it, not me.
Tomorrow we have The Saint with Vincent Price.
Now that's excellent.
Good detective. We have Suspense. And then we have a Western on Fort Laramie.
All right, well, I'll try to come up with some
more
comedies for next week.
Burns and Allen, Armist Brooks,
exactly.
My Friend Irma.
All of the above.
What else?
My Friend Louise.
Abbott and Costello.
Yep.
Have that.
Hello, Charlie McCarthy. Send some good stuff our way.
Would you?
A little My Favorite Husband, you know?
Okay. You know, all of these classic radio shows that we play and hundreds more are available at our website. They're available for digital download, and they're also available on CD. Just a huge array. In fact, we come out with 60 new shows every single month. We put 60 shows a month up on our website, and because we put five new collections every month that have 12 shows in each collection. Hey,
that was good math. Yeah,
pretty good. I did
that
on the top.
Well, you have your little calculator right there.
What are you talking about? Quit throwing me under the bus. So,
are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So, yeah, and how do you get to our website where we have all this? All right, just go to WGNRadioTheater.com, WGNRadioTheater.com, and you click through to our main website. Click through to our main website, and at the top of that main website, click store, and that's how you can check. It's a lot of clicking, but, you know, it's like this. A lot of clicking. But once you click through, you'll get to the store.
That was a good analogy.
And you know what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
I forgot to tell our listeners. It's very important. When you do go to WGNRadioTheater.com, there's not only our schedule that tells you what we're playing. That's pretty cool. But when you click through to the main website, there's a button you can click. Another button.
Another click, right?
Where you can actually download 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time. And it's free. It's just for, as a thank you to our listeners for checking out our show. Just go there and download your 10 shows.
And click.
Yeah, download them. I mean, some great stuff like Abbott and Costello's Who's On First, you know, the half hour Abbott and Costello, but they do the Who's On First routine on there. And there's Suspense. There's, let's see, what else? There's Inner Sanctum. There's a Lights Out. There's a Gunsmoke. So you get 10 shows absolutely free. Just go to that website. Just go to WGNRadioTheater.com, click through the main site, and click 10 free classic radio shows.
And then you can click.
Yeah.
And then you click it again.
We had a really nice, a couple of emails this week, one email saying, wow, we love the quality of the shows. There, you know, there's places where you can listen to classic radio, you know, all over different dials and on Sirius XM and things like that. But because we license these shows from the rights holders, they give us the master recordings. So when we play a show here on the WGN Radio Theater, or if we sell it on our website, it's because, you know, the quality is amazing because we have the master recordings. Plus, Mike Estella, our executive producer, does an incredible job of doing what he calls a denoise, which takes out any clicks and pops. So that's why you're hearing these shows in almost high fidelity, really, because we have the master recordings, and we want you to have the best quality out there, right?
Hey, only the best here, right, Carl?
That's right. Absolutely right. David, this is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm Carl Amari, your host. We're here Saturdays and Sundays, right, Lisa Wolf, my co-host?
That's right, Carl. Now you've got it.
If I don't say her name after my name, then I get a demerit? What happens?
Just so we're clear, Carl makes all of this stuff up. His brain is on overload here, and he makes this crap up.
I only have one brain, though. You have two.
Yeah, well, your brain goes zigzag.
So, hang on. Let me do that again. Hi, I'm Carl Amari, and this is Lisa Wolf, my co-host. I don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, no.
Because Lisa is tough, man. She works out.
I don't, actually.
She works out.
I don't.
You should see
I'm
the biceps.
Tough.
She has, like, Popeye biceps.
Yes. That's very tough and strong.
You are. You don't want to mess with her.
Oh, no.
All right, let's get back to this, right? Let's tune
please.
This in. This is the Embassy. Here's the conclusion to Dimension X.
Lieutenant, I'm Broderick.
Oh, well, there's your boy, Broderick. Not very pretty.
Oh, Mother in Heaven.
That's a 1,000-pound hunk of concrete.
Where did it come from?
Dropped off the roof of 106.
Anybody see it?
Yes, a couple of maids pushing baby carriages. One was so shaken, we had to send her to the hospital. The other one is hysterical, but she can talk. Can't seem to get any sense out of her, though.
Do you mind if I talk to her?
Not at all.
I'll be back in a minute, Grafius.
I'll wait here.
She's standing right over there with the patrolman on the beat. Hanson.
Yes, sir?
This guy wants a few questions with the girl.
Please, I told you what I saw. How many times I gotta tell you?
Yes, the dead man was a personal friend of mine. Would you tell me what happened, please?
Helen and I were standing in front of Rathman's candy store up on the corner. We both had the babies up. I worked for Mrs. Gillian on Washington Square North. He said hello and joked a little. Then he walked down the street just like he's been doing all week. He hadn't taken more than a few steps with...
Please, miss. It's very important.
I tell him, but they don't believe me.
What do you tell him?
How it happened.
Tell me.
It's too awful.
Please.
Well, first he squashed... And then the stone fell on him.
What do you mean, he squashed?
They don't believe me, but Helen saw it, too.
She saw what?
First, he squashed. Then it fell on him. He was mashed flat before...
aren't even hidden.
Now, look, that's the story, Broderick.
Please, please let me alone. Let me go home. I told you what I saw. Now, let me alone. Let me alone.
Did you learn anything, Mr. Broderick?
I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It's crazy.
Mr. Broderick, if I may make a suggestion at this point, perhaps it would be better if we dropped the entire matter.
What's eating you? First you come at me with a chain of nonsense that you're staking real cash on, and now when we hit solid trail, you want to call off the dogs. Well, maybe you operate that way, but Broderick doesn't.
May I ask, then, what do you intend doing?
As soon as the cops clear out and this place quiets down, I'm going to pay a personal call on the Martian embassy, whatever number 108 is. Open that door. I've got two heads or 10 fingers, and I'll drill you like a platoon of rookies.
Yes?
Oh.
Well, young man.
Excuse me, ma'am. Is the lady of the house at home?
I'm the lady of the house.
Well, my name is Broderick. I represent the Manhattan Child Adoption Center. We're soliciting funds and clothing for stranded and unadopted children. I wondered.
Oh, won't you come inside?
Well, we don't usually.
Oh, nonsense. I'm old enough to be your grandmother. Besides, my son, Lauren, is working at home.
Your son?
He's a bibliographer. He writes summaries of articles and books from scientific journals and publications for libraries and universities.
I see.
Well, sit down, Mr. Broderick. We get so few calls, and I do like to visit.
Oh, thank you.
Now, what was it you wanted to talk to us about?
Oh, well, I wondered if you or your son... There's nobody else living here.
No, just Lauren and I. I'll have to ask him about the contribution, but I'm sure he'd like to.
Good. Thank you very much. I'll send a representative to collect...
Oh, please, stay a moment. I was just about to have tea. Let me pour you a cup.
Well, no, thanks, really.
No, young man, I insist.
Well, thank you.
I was getting awfully tired of having tea by myself every afternoon.
You know, I'm not very much of a tea drinker, but this seems to have a strange taste.
It's my own recipe. The secret is in the brewing.
It's sweet. Yet almost metallic.
It takes a few sips to get used to, like olives.
Uh-huh. Well, I think I'd better be running along.
Oh, but you haven't finished your tea, Mr. Broderick.
I better be going. I'm late.
Oh, you're not being very polite. Do finish your tea.
No, really, I... You'll... funny.
Oh, I'll call Lauren.
No, no, I'm leaving. You'll... dizzy.
Oh, I'm sure Lauren can help you. I'll call him.
No, no, don't bother.
But I must. Besides, you aren't well.
Gee.
Lauren!
Gotta get out.
Lauren! Lauren, hurry!
Got it out of my way.
No, you must stay.
Yes, Mother?
You struck my teeth. Let go of my arm.
Lauren!
Let go! Gotta get out of here.
What happened?
The other one. That Broderick. He was here. I drugged his tea.
He got away. Fool, idiot.
Go after him. Use the pressure ray.
Risk another murder on our doorstep. Are you insane?
What he suspects.
We'll have to take our chances. We'll have to think of some other way.
How did they find us?
I don't know how, but I'm certain someone else sent them.
Who?
I don't know. I'm afraid to let myself think. It might be them.
Where are you going, you drunken fool?
Please, I...
Get away from me.
Stay awake, Derek.
Look out.
Miss, please.
Let go of me. Help.
Please.
Help, officer.
You don't understand.
What's the trouble here?
This drunkard is insulting people. I saw him come out of the house there.
108?
That's the one. He bumped into a gentleman, and then he pulled at my arm.
All right, miss. I'll take care of it. Come along, mister. I'm going to give you a break and take you back to the wife and kids.
No, no, you can't. Sick.
Sick, is it? What's the matter?
Drugged. They drugged me.
Who drugged you?
Number 108. Martians.
Who?
Martians. Number 108.
It's a Martian embassy.
Well, I've seen them with pink elephants, rabbits, and mice, but you're the first one who's got Martian.
That's true, I tell you.
Uh-huh. Come along.
Now, listen. Don't take me back there. Don't kill me. Look, I gotta make you understand.
Here, I'll help you up the steps.
Please, my name is Broderick. I'm a private dick.
We'll find out about this. Here, don't try any tricks.
Officer, please listen. I'll give you anything. I'll give you $1,000. Please listen. For God's sake, listen.
Yes, officer. What? Roderick.
You know this lush granny?
Why, that's my son, Roderick.
No, it's Martian.
He's in pretty bad shape. Better get him to bed.
Oh, dear. He was doing so well at the Alcoholic Society. He must have gotten off again.
Looks like he's ready to pass out.
Lauren!
What is it, Mother?
Oh. Your brother, Broderick, has been drinking again.
Look out, he's passed out.
I'll take care of him, officer. We've handled this sort of thing before.
Can you manage okay?
We'll be fine, thank you.
You've been very kind, officer.
Oh, nothing at all, Granny. I know how it is with these alkies. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Mr. Broderick is regaining consciousness, Mother.
What happened? Get up.
Do not struggle, Mr. Broderick. It'll be impossible for you to rise from that chair. The pressure from this ray will keep you there.
Ray? What? Who are you?
You've already guessed, Mr. Broderick.
You mean this really is the...
Martian Embassy, yes. You have the honor to be the first prisoner of the Imperial Government of Mars.
First... Isn't
it? Yes. After the invasion, of course, you will all be our prisoners.
Hey, look. What sort of a business is this?
No business, Mr. Broderick. As your people will soon find out, our preparations for invasion are nearly completed now. As soon as we give the signal, our armed forces will launch a surprise attack. And then the Earth will be ours.
You're crazy.
Not half as mad as you, Mr. Broderick, to come muddling so foolishly into our affairs. That was a fatal mistake.
So, Doolan's death... There was no accident, then.
Assuredly not. We found it necessary to use a pressure ray on your friend. The block of concrete was an afterthought. We thought it might help to avert suspicion.
All right. What happens now?
If you cooperate, you can look forward to a quick, painless death like your friend, Mr. Doolan.
If not?
This pressure ray has many delicate adjustments. It can move a pin, or it can crush a boulder. Let me demonstrate. You see, Mr. Broderick, as if an invisible vice were crushing you.
What do you want?
The name of your client. We are interested in knowing who is so anxious to locate the Martian embassy.
The names of my clients are confidential.
Well?
All right.
Turn it off, Mother. Mr. Broderick has seen the wisdom of speech.
His name is Graphius.
Graphius?
Yeah.
An unusual name for an Earthman.
Describe him.
Well, I don't know if I really can.
Mother. Oh. Describe him.
He's tall. Got a big forehead. And about 60. He wears thick glasses. He's bald.
Lauren, it sounds like one of them.
Yes, it does. Contact the planet. Tell them we suspect that our plans are known. Ask for an acceleration of invasion day.
At once.
What about me?
I am sorry, Mr. Broderick, but I am afraid you know too much now. In exactly 5 seconds, you will feel the full impact of the ray which faces you. I would suggest that you relax and meet your fate calmly.
Now, wait a minute.
You will feel no pain, just a wall of force engulfing you.
Listen, I...
Five.
No, you can't do this.
Four.
It isn't human.
I know, but we are not human. Three.
Yeah, but...
Two.
No!
One.
Mother in heaven.
Now.
Lauren.
It didn't work.
Something's happened. The magnetic field is dead.
Get it working. We've got to get rid of this one.
Now listen. Listen, you
quiet. I can't understand what's gone wrong with the ray. Why would it suddenly stop like that?
Perhaps I can explain.
What?
Graphius! It's you!
Yes.
Lauren!
Stand back from the pressure ray, please. It will not function anyway. I have decontrolled your field.
Lauren, it's one of them.
They've found us.
Did you think we wouldn't? I trust you have not harmed my friend, Mr. Broderick. He's been very useful to me.
Brother, am I very glad to see you. Talk about the Marines landing in the nick of time.
You're free to move now, Mr. Broderick.
I don't know how you got in here, Graffius, but stick around. These babies are really Martians, just like you said. They're planning to invade the Earth and take over.
There will be no Martian invasion.
You keep these characters covered. I'll get the police.
There will be no need for the police. I intend to handle them myself.
Yeah, but the police will...
Do not call the police.
Why not?
You fool of an Earthling. Don't you realize with whom you are dealing? The invasion of Earth by Mars will be like child's play compared...
Lauren!
Holy mackerel. They just flattened out.
Like your friend, Mr. Doolin. I detest the use of violence where the intellect can rule. But unfortunately, the Martians are a threat to us. It must be destroyed.
I believe you now. Another 5 seconds, they'd have finished me. I'm glad you didn't waste any time.
There is little time to waste. The Martian invasion was to have taken place next week.
Yeah, I... Hey. They never said that. How do you know?
You would not comprehend.
Wait a minute. There are some things here I do understand. A second ago, that pressure ray didn't work. Now you're using it like it was a toy. How did you get in here, anyway? Who are you? Another one of those Martians?
No, Mr. Broderick. I happen to be a Venusian.
What?
A representative of the planet Venus.
Venus? That's impossible.
Not at all. The Martians are really an inferior race. We Venusians are much farther advanced. As much as we are over you, Mr. Broderick, the Martians would simply have conquered and enslaved your people. We Venusians felt compelled to exterminate you completely.
That's impossible.
Oh, no. Now that we have disposed of the Martian threat, what is there to stop us? Our invasion begins tomorrow at noon. By nightfall, the Earth will be ours.
Mother in heaven. Either I'm completely cuckoo or... Oh, all this is really on the level.
You needn't edge toward the door, Mr. Broderick. You're thinking of running for help, aren't you now? I can read your thoughts quite clearly.
Suppose you're going to knock me off like our Martian friends.
On the contrary. Go ahead.
Leave?
Why not? Why don't you try it, Mr. Broderick?
Because the minute I turn my back, you're going to let me have it.
Suppose you try it and see. I have no interest in stopping you. Go ahead.
All right, Buster, you asked for it.
It will do you no good. No good! You will see!
You let me go.
Here, where do you think you're running to?
Hey, officer, listen to me.
Oh, it's you, the one with the mark.
Yeah, that's right. Now listen, that story is true. They're inside that house, inside number 108. He killed them.
Who killed them?
Graffius. He's the leader of the Venusian invasion.
Venusian invasion?
That's right. Tomorrow at noon, they're going to take over the Earth. Now listen, go in that house.
Martians, now Venusians, eh? Okay, that's enough for me. Come along.
Good, good. We haven't got much time. Now, hey, wait. Where are you taking me?
Bellevue Psychiatric Ward, my friend. Come
on. Bellevue, no!
Now, come along.
No! Listen to me. Why are you such a fool? Let go of me.
You're
loony
as a bedbug. Come
now. I tell you, there's going to be an invasion. The Venusians are going to invade us. Don't you understand? You got to believe me. You got to believe me.
All right.
All right. Oh, why don't they listen? Why won't they believe me?
You have just heard another adventure into the unknown world of the future. The world of... Dimension X. Tonight, Dimension X has presented The Embassy, a story by Donald A. Wolheim, as adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Joseph Julian was heard as Broderick, Barry Kroger as Graffius. Your narrator was Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman, engineer Don Abbott. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King. Tomorrow, hear High Adventure. Now it's Truth or Consequences on NBC.
There you have it. That is Dimension X, a great sci-fi adventure called The Embassy, June 3rd, 1950, starring Joe DeSantis. I sure hope you enjoyed that. Still to come on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, we'll tune into the tales of the Texas Rangers and Escape. But right now, Celebrity Scoop.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop.
Alright, we're going to do a Celebrity Scoop take two. This actor stars in the upcoming film Yosemite, a drama about the intertwining tales of three fifth grade friends as the threat of a mountain lion looms over the community.
Alright, so this actor that Lisa's talking about starred in a 2010 true story about a mountain climber whose arm becomes trapped under a boulder in Utah. And if you can identify who this celebrity is, you'll win a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. The phone number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's the clip.
This marks 24 hours of being stuck.
I've been chipping away. Want to keep warm, anything?
I have about 150 milliliters of water left, which should keep me alive till tomorrow night. If I'm lucky.
All right, if you can name that celebrity, you'll win a gift card for Lou Malnati's, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back here in the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
This marks 24 hours of being stuck.
I've been chipping away. Want to keep warm, anything?
I have about 150 milliliters of water left, which should keep me alive till tomorrow night, if I'm lucky.
And we got Maggie on the line. Hey, Maggie.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Great. Are you able to tell us who that actor is?
Yes, that is James Franco.
Yes, it is. He's going to be in an upcoming film, Yosemite. It sounds like a good one. And you are a winner, Maggie.
People are always saying I look
Yay!
Just like...
Okay. Yay!
You know that, Maggie? People are saying I look just like James Franco all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah,
you know?
He looks... Really?
George Clooney, too. I get that a lot.
Yeah, Carl's really attractive. That's why he's in radio. No.
I have a face for radio, Maggie.
Maggie from Evanston is our winner. You won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's. You can check them out at loumalnati's.com or visit one of their 42 Chicagoland locations. And, Maggie, I have to tell you, I had a Lou Malnati's pizza for dinner tonight. It was delicious, so I hope you enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's
the best.
My favorite
pizza. But Lisa paid for hers, and you won't have to pay for yours.
It's true.
Yeah, perfect.
Enjoy Thank it, you. Maggie. Take care.
Thanks, Maggie. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, in our next hour, we're going to tune into a good modern Western on Tales of the Texas Rangers starring Joel McRae, a good episode called The Trigger Men. And then in our third hour on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, we'll tune into Escape with the Time Machine. So quite a bit more coming your way here on the WGN Radio Theater. Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. Lisa Wolf, our second hour here on the legendary Radio 720 WGN. We broadcast from the Allstate Studio on Michigan Avenue. If you're walking by anytime soon, you'll be cold, but you can wave to us. A bunch of people were waving earlier, Lisa.
Yeah, not too many tonight, but
to us.
Maybe as the weather improves.
They're looking at your new jacket from Oakley that I that you took back and got a new one.
This is nicer.
I'm a little.
Are you? I thought it would be worse if I just looked like I never wore the jacket. I thought at least I should show you that I've got something that I appreciate.
Shane, what's your thoughts on that? Someone buys you something and, you know, they take it back.
I think it's the most disrespectful thing.
You know what? I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you on that.
Thanks, Shane. He's my friend.
She should wear it even if she looks like a man in it. She said it was very manly.
It's about respect to
it
the
is.
Gift giver.
I believe it was a man's jacket that he bought for me, and so I would
I don't think Carl would do that.
No.
Maybe not purposely.
I got it from the girls,
from the men's
girls
section.
I bought, let's see.
You bought Mike and I the same jacket.
No.
You did.
This is not true, and you know this
maybe,
is not true.
Maybe you switched them.
Yours had had a female look to it, and his had a male look to it.
It was missing the femininity.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I am with you, Shane, on this.
No. know, they're ganging up on me.
You know, she got me a little wallet, and I have it, and I didn't take it back.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Where is it?
I have it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
You just don't worry about it.
That's
over there,
right.
Lisa Wolf.
That's right.
You just worry about helping me with these radio shows.
Yes,
here.
You got it.
But no, that looks really nice.
Thanks.
Looks really, really nice.
Thank
my
you.
My jacket looked a lot better. The
yeah.
one I gave you.
Mm-hmm, I bet it did.
So we have some classic radio shows to play for our listeners. Tales of the Texas Rangers in this hour, and then Escape in our third hour. But all of this is brought to you by our sponsor, Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actor stars in the upcoming drama The Benefactor, about a philanthropist who meddles in the lives of a newly married couple in an attempt to relive his past.
All right, if you want to win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, you'll name this celebrity. Here's a hint. This actor starred in 1982's An Officer and a Gentleman. Here's a scene with Lou Gossett Jr.
What's your name, boy?
Mayo. Zach Mayo, sir.
All right, call us, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Name that celebrity, win a gift card to Lou Malnati's. We'll find our winner after this.
This is the WGN Radio Theater, and we are playing our award-winning game, Celebrity Scoop. And let's hear that movie clip again.
What's your name, boy?
Mayo. Zach Mayo, sir.
And that's all you got, but we've got Mary on the line from Antioch who thinks she knows it. Hey, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great.
Great. So who are we talking about here? Who was that celebrity from Officer and a Gentleman?
It was Richard Gere.
It was. I assume you saw that movie.
Oh, yes, many times.
Yeah, me too. Kind of an iconic movie.
I get mistaken for him a lot, too.
Yes, you look exactly like him.
Right, Mary? Don't I, Mary?
Right, Mary?
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, Mary.
She's just nicer than I am.
I love Mary.
I bet you do. Mary, you are a winner. You have won a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's Pizza, which is one of the best around. I hope there's one by you in Antioch. There are 42 Chicagoland locations, and you can look them up at loumalnatis.com. I hope you love the pizza.
Oh, I do.
Me too.
Thanks, I love it.
Thanks, Mary.
Hope thank you for calling in.
Enjoy it, and thanks for listening to the show. This hour, we're going to tune into Tales of the Texas Rangers. In our next hour, Escape. And we are here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. So we're kind of the weekend 11 p.m. team here, Lisa.
Yes, we are a good
you
team.
And I and Shane here on
yes.
Saturdays with Mike Costello, but there's no Mike. He's like the invisible man.
And, you know, it's nice to have him around, but, you know, he'll be back.
He's like Claude Rains, the invisible man.
He'll be back.
And then on Sunday nights, it's you and I and Dan Long.
It's us again?
Yeah, and no Mike.
And no Mike.
All right, it's time now for Tales of the Texas Rangers. These were modern westerns, and like its predecessor, Dragnet, Tales of the Texas Rangers adapted actual police files. Now, the Texas Ranger that was solving all the crimes was Texas Ranger Jace Pearson. He was played by movie star Joel McRae. And as I say, they were in present day, and Pearson used the latest scientific techniques to identify criminals. And the working environments would range from the big cities to isolated wilderness areas that could only be reached on horseback. And this series was produced and directed by Stacy Keach Sr. His son, of course, is Stacy Keach, the actor who played Mike Hammer. And his other son was James Keach, who was for a long time married to Jane Seymour. Now, this show ran from 1950 to 1952. It had the top supporting actors. And in 1955, it spawned a television series that ran until 1958. So we have the radio show for you now. And this one is titled, okay, where is my, here it is. It's called The Trigger Man. And it's from July 29th, 1950. Here's Joel McRae in part one of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
Wheaties presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another in the Wheaties Big Parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles. and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. From the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, the Trigger Men.
At 9 o'clock on the evening of May 27, 1947, Jasper Leach, operator of an independent service station in Ada, Oklahoma, was preparing to shut down for the night. Suddenly, two men in a green convertible pulled into the service island at his station.
Close for the night, fellas. Pumps are all locked.
We gotta get some gas.
All night place on the highway south, mister. Big station, you're heading that way.
I don't like big stations. We're gassing up right here. I got a tire you can fix.
Now, look, I told you I'm close for the night.
Hey, stop the chatter, will you?
You heard him, Hick. Now get moving, or I'll put a slug in you.
All right, mister. I ain't arguing with a gun.
He gets a pump cord. Make him fill a couple extra 5-gallon cans.
All right, Joel. Stop playing the party and get that flat spare out if you're so hot for action.
Okay, okay, but let's take it up, man.
Well, come on, Hayseed. Get with the pump.
Keys are in the office.
Well, let's get them. And while we're in here, you might as well open the safe.
All right. I don't know the combination.
Yeah? Oh! I said open it, you hick.
All right, mister, I'll open it. But you ain't getting away with this. Not by a dang sight.
We'll talk that over later. Just you and me, Hick. Just you and me.
All units. KTX 8, all units. Oklahoma State Police advised that about 9 p.m. of 527, gas station attendant in Ada, Oklahoma, was robbed and beaten to death with tire iron. Subjects tentatively identified as number one, Joe Gordon, average size, eyes blue, hair blonde, complexion fair. Number two, Tiny Gordon, 6'3", peculiar walk, pigeon-toed, same coloring as brother. Subjects now believed to be in Texas en route to Mexican border. Wanted six states and FBI for murder, bank robbery, narcotics, other charges. Use caution, these men are dangerous. KTXA Austin.
There were no further signs of the Gordon brothers on the night of May 27th. But on the morning of the 28th, Captain Stinson of the Texas Rangers received a report that looked like a lead. And immediately sent for Ranger Jace Pearson.
You send for me, Captain?
Yeah, Jace. I want you to get right over to the General Hospital in Palo Pinto County. Been a double shooting. Deputy Sheriff and his son.
Where'd it happen?
Near Mineral Wells, but check the hospital first. Shooting took place during the night. Rancher found the men this morning.
Mineral Wells, that's on the road south from Ada, Oklahoma. You think it might have been the Gordon brothers?
It smells like them. They were headed south, according to all previous reports. I figure they're making their run for the border, and they'll kill anybody who tries to stop them.
Sure looks that way.
The deputy never saw who gunned him, Jace. If he can talk, get all the information you can. And if it looks like the Gordons, stay with it all the way. We don't want them to get across the border.
I understand.
Judging by their past movements, they steal cars and dump them for new ones at regular intervals before they get too hot. So don't pin too much in any car descriptions.
I won't. I'll see you later.
Oh, Jace.
Yeah?
You get anything hot, report it by phone. If I have anything for you, I'll have the radio dispatcher tell you to call in. The men we're after might have a short wave set.
Right, Captain.
One thing more, Jace. This department hasn't lost a man in a long time. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be the one to spoil the record. I checked my car out and headed for Palo Pinto County. I reached the hospital at 9:45 a.m. and saw the doctor in charge.
He'll pull through, I think, but his condition is critical. Shot 3 times through the back. One of the bullets is lodged in his spine.
Which room's he in?
I'll show you.
Deputy's son hurt bad, too?
Too bad, Ranger. Dead on arrival.
He know it?
Yep, he knows. Be better if you could wait.
I wish I could. I can't.
I understand. He's in here.
The deputy was lying on his stomach, a dazed look on his face like he was remembering something over and over, but still couldn't believe it. I knelt on the floor beside him so he could see me while he was telling me what happened.
You see, my boy built himself one of them hot rod cars out of an old chassis and spare parts. You know youngsters.
Yeah.
I broke down on him last night. Fooled with it, couldn't get it to start. Called up home about midnight. Tell me and his ma why I was out so late.
Sure.
I drove out in my car and meet him where he called from, up at Salesville. Both fooled around with his car some, but wasn't fixing to go at all.
Here. Here, sip a little water through this glass straw. Better?
Yeah, thank you.
You couldn't get the car started?
Yeah. So finally, I told the kid to come on home. And we'd get it taken care of today. Hmm. Reckon that don't matter none now.
What happened on the way home?
We passed the carpet place. Big place. It raises silkworms.
Here. Let me fix that pillow for you a bit.
Thank you. Worms feed off the leaves of the mulberry trees. We was passing the grove, Carver's mulberries, and I spot a fire, a little campfire, like deep in the grove, almost out of sight.
I see.
Thought I better stop and have a look. The kid, he wanted to get out of the car with me. I don't know why I let him, but I had no way of knowing.
Oh, of course, you couldn't know.
We walked in. I guess they heard us coming. One of them kicked at the fire. I saw his shadow. That's all. I yelled at them to stand where they was, and they started blasting.
Go on.
I turned, pushed the kid down. Something hit me in the back and went out. When I came to, my kid was lying there, just a couple of feet from me. 15 years old.
All right. Don't try to talk anymore.
Get him for me, Ranger. Please get him. Me and my kid.
I left the hospital and headed for the Carbeth Ranch outside Mineral Wells. Big Jim Carbeth, the owner of the place, took me into the mulberry grove where the deputy and his boy had been gunned.
Well, this is the spot. Sheriff's combed it over pretty complete, though.
Had their fire right over here.
What are you digging out of them ashes?
Fire wasn't burning long. Started it with a road map and an envelope. A little corner of the envelope not quite burned. I can just make out the stamp.
Huh?
It's Mexican. Maybe our lad can make out the postmark.
Out of that charred hunk?
Yeah. If I can slide it into this fresh envelope without breaking it up too much.
You fellas sure can figure a lot from a little, I reckon.
Sometimes. When they left, they went through there toward the road.
How do you know that?
Here's the mark where the fire was kicked. Steps from it move that way.
It might have been the sheriff and his men.
Not in low heel eastern boots. See the impressions?
Oh.
One set, same as yours or mine, except for the difference in boots.
Huh.
The other set scuffs in at the toes. Man who made those is pigeon-toed.
You sound like you could draw a picture of them.
I could now. Let's see where these prints lead. They led to the road, or almost to the road. Just at the edge of the grove were tire markings where a car had been backed into the mulberries to screen it from sight.
Yeah, this is it, all right. Can see where it scraped the branches.
Did more than scrape them. And this one's been torn off. The part that got torn off isn't on the ground. Low branch, too.
Oh, that means something?
From the tire marks and the height of the branch, it means the baggage compartment of the car was open and then closed down on the end of the branch. See, it snapped off when the car moved.
You sound like that's worth knowing.
It might be worth plenty. The highway patrol turns up an abandoned car with a piece of mulberry branch caught on it.
All right, Lisa Wolf, let's take a break here on Tales of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae, July 29th, 1950. If you want to see what Joel McRae looks like, there's a picture of him where?
On our Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater. You can check out our picture. You can check out our schedule. You can let us know what you'd like to hear. It's just a full of information.
Right.
Chock full.
Very cool. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Cat's Pride has proudly made cat litter for over 65 years. Three generations of a family committed to creating innovative, top-quality cat litter products. New Cat's Pride Fresh and Light lightweight litters contain absolutely no fillers, just natural clay minerals with an odor-controlling system. Pure performance. Whether your cat prefers our original Fresh and Light quick action or fragrance-free, all our clay litters are made using only safe and gentle ingredients without ever compromising on performance. Cat's Pride, committed to changing litter for good.
Yeah, I know that voice.
It sounds a little familiar to me as well. It's Shane.
Shane, you have a high voice when you do commercials, you know?
Yeah, but it was really good. You sounded great.
I'm paid big money for that.
Tell me about it.
Great job. So Cat's Pride is one of our main sponsors here on the WGN Radio Theater, and we're holding a wonderful drawing with Cat's Pride. Lisa, I'll
take
let
it
you,
away.
You, just
Thank
take it
you,
away,
Carl.
As they say in showbiz.
At the end of every month, so at the end of January, Dan Jaffe, CEO of Cat's Pride, will come here to the studio and pick one name at random of all the people who have sent in pictures of themselves with their cats and their name and cat's name with their city and state. And the email address is catspridephoto@gmail.com. And some people tell us little stories about their cats. We see some great pictures. We have fun looking through them. We post them on our Facebook page, Mike does, and then we choose one at the end of the month. So every
and
month,
what do they win?
So every month you have the potential to win a full year supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, which is the best in the business. You can't stand it. You just have to say something.
I just was, you know, just wanted to make sure you got it right. And
oh,
you did.
I got it right.
And Lisa, you did.
So if you want to win a year supply of Cat's Pride
what
kitty litter,
what do I do?
You send in your picture to catspridephoto@gmail.com.
Just me or me and my cat?
Yeah, just you. Just you. And we just hope you have a cat. We'll just guess, and we'll guess what your cat's name is as well.
There's some pretty fun pictures of people and their cats. Sometimes people just send in their cats. They don't want to be in the picture for whatever reason.
They're shy. It's okay.
They're shy, yeah.
But we love
they don't,
to
maybe
see
they
pictures.
Don't look like James Franco, Richard Gere, or George Clooney.
Like you do.
Like I
know,
I do.
Not everybody can look like Carl, but we do love the pictures of the cats and their owners and their families. And if you have a cat, we'd love you to send it in. catspridephoto@gmail.com.
It's catspridephoto@gmail.com, right?
What? Did you say something?
catspridephoto@gmail.com.
I'm not listening.
So send that in. Take a picture of you and your cat.
Are you going to repeat
send
everything I said or just a few of
I
the things?
I think you did it great, Lisa.
But
it
was you're like, just going to say a few
could
things
not
just
have
in
been
case.
B- better.
Beauty.
I'm still a little perturbed that you returned my gift, but other than that, thanks for bringing me in a LaCroix. Lisa brought me in a LaCroix.
Very I nice always do. We should have them as a sponsor because we always drink them
we
during
should.
Our show.
You know that? I can just see us here. Look,
or,
take a picture of me with my LaCroix.
No, that's okay. Or we'd be willing to change brands if there was a different sponsor that liked us.
Right.
We're flexible.
Listen, if there's a beverage owner.
We'll, whatever it is.
We'll drink your beverage.
Yes, we will.
As long as it's not alcoholic, I can't do
no,
that.
No, you know, something healthy.
Actually, maybe if I did... you know what? The show would be a little bit looser, right?
You could be a little looser, Carl.
I'm a little uptight.
You
right?
are.
You know, you hit upon something very good there. We can change our beverage preference.
Yes, it could be just about any healthy beverage. Let's do it.
Right. It could
can
be.
I recommend Pellegrino?
Yes.
Pellegrino?
Yes, I like that,
love
too.
Pellegrino.
Oh, who's talking?
That's
oh,
Roger.
It's Roger. I'm looking at Shane, and I don't see his mouth moving. Roger,
it's,
I know
it's
your
this
voice.
This new act Shane and I have.
It's Edgar Bergen and Charlotte McCarthy.
That's funny.
Hey, Roger, you know what?
1,300,000,000. See, I got
this
it.
This is correct. Did you know that you have a better chance of flipping a coin and it landing on heads 28 times in a row you have a better chance of doing that than winning that Powerball. Did you know that, Lisa?
Well, yeah, but if you win the Powerball, you get something.
Well, no, yeah, but flipping a coin over you
gives you nothing.
You could like thrill people.
Yeah,
you
it's
could
not
probably
that
make
thrilling.
Money off of that too if you bet people.
Yeah.
Here's what I heard the other day.
What?
The Cubs have a better chance of winning the World Series 5 years in a row than
right.
you have of winning the lottery.
Right. Well, you know, the Cubs have a good enough team to
That's
do it.
That's right.
So I'm excited about the Cubs and at least winning in 2016. Let's make that happen. Let's start with one World Series.
We'll start with one. Yeah.
Start with one. All right. Thanks, Roger. I appreciate it. All right. In this hour, we're going to tune into Tales of the Texas Rangers, the conclusion. In our next hour, we're going to tune into Escape with Eric Rolf in The Time Machine, the H.G. Wells sci-fi story Time Machine. That's coming up in our third hour. I want to remind our listeners we have a Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater. And when you go to the Facebook page to speak to us, talk to us, ask us questions, post comments, if you want to hear a specific radio show, maybe you want to hear The Shadow, maybe you want to hear Gunsmoke or Have Gun Will Travel, or any of the radio shows that played during the golden age of radio, just let us know through Facebook. We do get all of those posts. Every time you post to us, we get them. Lisa reads them to me because I don't know how to do it.
Because he doesn't know how to read. That's
yeah.
All.
So, but I do sign language pretty well, right?
No, not
yeah.
so well.
So just post to us. Let us know what you want to hear on the WGN Radio Theater, and we'll play it. But when you go to the Facebook page, please like us. We want to build our likes. Nick DiGilio has a lot of likes, and we're in a contest. We're having a little contest with Nick.
I think he has 1,300,000,000.
Right,
Roger?
Spot on.
All right, let's get back to this now. A good modern Western. Here's part two of the Trigger Men on Tales of the Texas Rangers.
I drove back to headquarters and turned the charred envelope over to the lab. Then I went in and reported to Captain Stinson.
Sounds like the Gordon brothers are all right.
I'd bet on it. And if they're in the habit of ditching their cars, we better check on all the stolen and abandoned. We find the car, we'll know which way they're headed.
I'll send out a bulletin on it. What did Lab say about the envelope?
Burned pretty bad, Captain, but they think they can restore it. Take time, though.
Well, if they can bring out that Mexican postmark, it might tell us where the Gordons plan to cross the border.
That's what I was thinking. They won't go through a regular border station. It'll be an illegal crossing. They'll probably have a hideaway arranged on the other side.
Yeah, probably other members of the Crawford gang.
I figure they'll try to make it before tomorrow morning. They'll be making their big run tonight.
Well, head south, Jace, toward the border. We'll relay all information to you as it comes up.
I'd better get charcoal out of the barn and hitch up my horse trailer.
That's a good idea. Wherever they try to cross, it's a cinch it won't be good territory for a car.
The border stations are covered, though, aren't they, in case they do try a legal crossing?
Now, their mugs are hanging in every customs house from Brownsville to El Paso. FBI has given them extra cover, and the Mexican police are helping, too.
I better get going, then. So long, Captain.
So long, Jace, and good luck.
I loaded charcoal into the horse trailer and headed south, aiming for the center of the border near Valverde County so I could change my direction fast either way. I kept a lead foot on the gas pedal. Towards sundown, I was just outside El Dorado when the radio dispatcher came through telling me to call headquarters. I got Captain Stinson on long distance.
That Mulberry branch is paying off, Jace. Abandoned car with a piece of it caught in the trunk has just been found in Fort Stockton, Pecos County.
How long ago?
Less than 15 minutes. And the motor was still warm. Highway patrol is throwing up roadblocks at all points, south and west. They can't be far out of Stockton.
Must be planning to try a border crossing in Presidio or Brewster County, then. Any report on that burned envelope?
Still working on it, Jace. You better head for Fort Stockton. If they do get past our block, they're within 90 miles of the border.
I'll do my best, Captain. So long. I started for the roadblock area in Pecos County, but I never got there. I was still 50 miles away when headquarters radioed me to contact them by phone. Had a feeling the news wasn't going to be good, and it wasn't.
We can forget about Pecos County, Jace. The Gordons broke through our roadblock.
Where?
Back road near Hovey.
I turned a Tommy gun on the highway patrol and a sheriff's car.
Kill anybody?
Two. And two more badly wounded. The men were just found when they didn't answer a radio call. Happened 2 hours ago.
Then the Gordons could be at the border by now.
The wildest part of it, Jace. And you'll have to guess what... Just a second.
What is it? What is the first order? Oh, okay,
here it is, Jace. Lab report on the burned envelope.
Where was it mailed from?
Cotillas. Right across the Rio Grande from the Santiago Mountains. That country's murder.
Worse for them than for us. River swollen by spring rains. They'll need a boat to cross.
County sheriff can beat through the mountains with posses. 10 miles each side.
I'll get as close as I can by car and then Charcoal and I'll ride in. The posse will corner them. We'll have them.
You're the closest ranger unit, Jace. But those men are dangerous. You want to wait for some help?
No time for waiting. Now's the time for getting them. You'll hear from me. South of Brewster County, the world comes to an end. I drove as far as I could and met one wing of the sheriff's posse where Maravillas Creek runs into the Rio Grande. Any sign of them, Sheriff?
Nope. Got men working in from the other side of the mountains, though.
I'll get my horse and ride in with you ways. Then we can split and fan out.
Good. Mighty fine horse, Ranger.
The best. Come on, Charcoal. Which of your men knows this section best?
Jaime Sanchez, I reckon.
I'd like him to ride with me when we split.
Oh, he'd be proud to. Sanchez!
Steve! You want me for something, Sheriff?
Ranger wants you to ride with him.
That's good with me.
Thanks, Sanchez. You got any signal arranged with the rest of your posse?
3 shots. 2 seconds between each one.
Good. Well, let's ride.
All right, men. Mount up.
We'll follow the river, then you can drop off in pairs and head in toward the peak. The sheriff will pair you off. If you hit ground too rough for your horses, tie them off and move through on foot.
All got that?
All right, let's move.
Closing the circle and hoping that Joe and Tiny Gordon were inside of it. The country got rougher and no horse could have taken it without the light of the moon. Posse paired off and thinned out. Finally, the sheriff and his last deputy turned off. Sanchez and I went on alone. How far are we from Boquilla, Sanchez?
About 5 miles, senor, and it will be right across the Rio.
We better turn toward the peak, then.
We can't go in very far in the horses. Maybe we should leave them right here. Easier to find again.
You're probably right. Whoa, boy. Tie him off over here.
See? There are some cabins up here in the mountains, but the men we are after wouldn't know about them.
What kind of cabins?
Old hunters' cabins from long ago when there was good hunting. But most of the game is gone. Nobody lives in them anymore.
No, but the Gordons might know about them anyhow.
You say they do not know this country.
Yeah, they could have been told. They're meeting somebody in Mexico. Some of their gang might have come through here before. That's why they picked this spot.
They're in such a hurry, though, I don't think they would stop.
Yeah, they would if the big boy got tired.
The big boy?
Yeah, Tiny Gordon. He's pigeon-toed. Something wrong with his feet. He's big and heavy and carrying a lot of weight. He's going to slow down in this country.
I think you're right, Ranger Pearson. He ain't got good feet. He's so down plenty in here.
And the cabins in the territory we're covering?
See, 2 of them.
Now, let's take a look.
See, the first one is right up this way to the left, about 2 miles in.
Doesn't seem to be anybody in there.
No. Maybe they're just waiting there.
Soon find out. Stay clear of the doorway and keep your gun ready while I go in.
See, but you better have your guns ready, too.
Don't worry. I got them. Watch it.
Nobody here. Come in. A lamp here. I'll light it.
Something wrong with the lamp, senor?
No. But I don't think I'll light it after all. Use your flashlight instead.
See? There.
Feel the glass. Lamp chimney.
It's warm, senor.
used less than half an hour ago. Could any of the posse have reached here before us?
I don't see how. They all turn in further back.
I mean the group working in from the other side.
No, they came all the way from Hot Springs, further than where we start. Mm. That's where the sheriff's deputy went to get them.
Flash your light around a little.
See.
Wait, turn on that chair again.
See.
Look. Dust wiped off it. Somebody sitting there not long ago, a scraped spot on the floor. Sat with his legs straight out. The scraping was done by his heels.
Gee, you have a good eye.
I think I'll sit down there and stretch my legs. Mm-hmm. My heels reach those marks?
No, not quite so far, but why do you do that?
Because I'm 6 feet tall. The man that sat in that chair is taller. Tiny Gordon is 6'3". Come on. Look around, see which way they headed.
See. I think this way, Ranger Pearson.
Why? What'd you find?
Somebody step on this dead log, take off a piece of the bark.
Yeah. And prints there, too. Here, flash your light.
See? Here.
Two sets. One of them with the toes turning in. Now throw the light that way.
See, that bush.
First one through here held the branch back for the other to pass. Knocked off a few berries. Crushed them on the ground.
It's still wet from the juice.
We got the direction now. Let's move. You better put that light off.
They headed for the Rio, all right. Shouldn't we fire the gun now, the signal for the posse?
No, we're too close. Gordon's might hear it, too. Probably think they're safe in here. They don't know we've got a postmark. Better chance of getting them cold if they don't know.
See. You think they're going to fight if we catch them?
With murder charges in a couple of states, they got nothing to lose. They'll fight plenty. They left a trail all the way. Easy to follow even by moonlight. Got fresher as we moved along and saw more and more spots where Tiny Gordon had stopped to rest. And the pace spots where Joe Gordon had moved around restlessly waiting for him. It wasn't long before we could hear the lapping of the Rio Grande as the foothills dipped down toward it. Then we heard them, moving and talking in the reeds at the edge of the river.
All right, take it easy.
How do you know? Hey, Billy got a letter. Expected us last night.
Let's try again. No, we ain't moving on a train schedule.
Suppose they don't come. We might in a couple of hours.
So we'll go back to that cabin and hold up again until tomorrow night.
Besides, who's going to see us here?
Oh,
maybe an Indian or something. I don't know who's liable to be tramping around. What are you, Daniel Boone or something?
That dryer.
Don't you tell me to dry up, you little punk.
Dad, Tiny.
We figured that right. I'm expecting a pickup from the Mexican side.
Gee, good thing the boat did not come
here.
Lucky you could carry a .45. You try to carry a Tommy gun away, you were flopping around, eh, man? You'd kill yourself and me, too.
I might kill you someday, Joe, shooting your mouth off.
Go on, try it. I'll blow your brain.
Why, you want to punch in the jaw, Joe?
Well, they got 45s, but so have we.
See,
let's move in and take them. We slipped down to the edge of the reeds. I tapped Sanchez to move off about 30 yards so they'd have to come between us if they made a break away from the river. We couldn't see them in the reeds, but they couldn't see us either. Sanchez reached his position, and I straightened up.
Come on, Joe, will you?
Tiny!
Hey,
Joe!
Who's that? Get up, Tiny!
I'm a Texas Ranger. There's a posse of 20 men in the hills. You're surrounded. Will you come out? That won't do you any good.
This way, Tiny!
Open up, Sanchez!
Don't get through here!
That's a posse signal, Tiny. They'll all be heading this way.
You won't be here to meet us!
What's the matter, Tiny? Your gun empty?
Why is it coming?
Hey, how'd you fellas ever kill anybody? You don't even come close.
Where are you, you hicks? I'll kill all of you, you stinking hicks.
I'm over here, signal.
Oh, yeah?
The rest of the posse will be here soon. It'll be daylight. We'll starve you out and burn you out. You're hogtied. You better give up while you can.
I ain't giving up. I'll take a lot of your hits with me. Come on, Joe.
Please, you. Quick in this way, son.
Go. Get dirty. Go.
Connie.
Sanchez.
Guess this job is almost finished.
Almost finished? They look like they finished good.
Yeah, I mean the rest of the Crawford gang are from across the river. I'm a nice surprise for them if they come over in their boat. Posse will be here soon, and we may be able to take them by surprise.
Easier than these two, senor. You know, I don't think they like this very much.
I saw what they did to a deputy sheriff and his kid. I didn't like the Gordon brothers very much either.
Two hours later, other members of the Crawford gang were surprised and captured without resistance when they crossed the Rio Grande to keep their rendezvous with the Gordon brothers. They were turned over to federal authorities to stand trial for their crimes.
Well, partner, whether you're riding the Texas prairie or smelting steel in Pittsburgh, first you need your Wheaties. Yep, breakfast of champions for folks with big things to do. It's a brighter morning and a better job when you begin a good breakfast with Wheaties. Here's why. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can give so much. Whole wheat vitamins and minerals, protein too. Whole wheat energy to help you stride through the morning high, wide, and handsome. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. You try them. Golden flakes, crisp flakes, Wheaties flakes. Have some tomorrow with milk and fruit, and see yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae will soon be seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production, Saddle Trim. Tonight's cast included Tony Barrett, Tom McKee, Tom Holland, Jack Crucian, Byron Kane, and Jay Novello. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keith. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
There it is. That's Tales of the Texas Rangers from July 29, 1950, The Trigger Men, starring Joel McRae. And Lisa, that show was created by our good pal, Stacy Keach's dad. And, you know, years and years ago when I was working with Stacy Keach Sr. to license this show, I'm talking like 25 years ago maybe, when I licensed this radio series from Stacy Keach Sr., I was thinking of, it wasn't that long ago, it was probably maybe more like 20 years ago, and I was thinking about radio drama and creating a new time radio show, and Twilight Zone was something I always wanted to turn into a radio series, because I grew up watching the Twilight Zone television show, and I thought, you know, the makeup is bad, the special effects are bad, because it was done in the late 50s.
Yeah.
And I always thought the Twilight Zone stories would work amazingly on radio. And so then years later, I created, I licensed the rights from the Rod Serling Estate, CBS, to turn the Twilight Zone into a radio series. And I had met Stacy Senior, and he introduced me to his son, Stacy Keach, who we all know is Mike Hammer and in a million movies. And I was so taken by his incredibly powerful voice, and he was a big fan of the Twilight Zone, and he ended up hosting, I cast him as the host of the series. So he didn't like do it as a Rod Serling, he did his own thing with it. And we did those all in Chicago, and I know you appeared on some of them. It's how we met.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's how we met. Lisa's an actress, and she was in some of the Twilight Zones. And we played one here on the WGN Radio Theater. We had a Facebook, someone on Facebook said they'd like to hear more. But if you want to listen to the Twilight Zone, you can go to our website. We have three shows that we give people for free. You can download them for free. Just go to twilightzoneradio.com. If you go to twilightzoneradio.com, that's our website, There are three free shows, and then we offer, I think, all of these shows. I think it's 180 episodes. You can digitally download them. They're 45 minutes apiece for only $1.99, maybe it is. I don't recall. But you can get three shows absolutely free. So check it out at TwilightZoneRadio.com. Lisa, are you awake?
Me.
Are you up?
Hey.
Last week she wasn't up at this time.
Did I not have to wake you up before the show started?
She was sawing logs, Shane. She was sawing logs.
Okay, no ganging up on me here. I don't know how to sleep at the radio station.
The little, she curls up in a little fetal position right there in the corner and just takes a nap.
I am
at
so
about
glad
this time.
There are cameras
two,
in the studio.
See, 1 o'clock. This is about the time you saw.
Pinocchio, your nose is growing.
Yeah. And she goes and returns everybody's Christmas gifts.
That's right. It's right. Because you know what? It's
I'm
all
horrible.
About her. It's all about her, Shane.
Despicable me,
That's
Carl.
That's right. It's all about Lisa Wolf.
Lisa, well, I've got your back. Don't worry about it.
I don't hear anything, Roger.
Well, I've, you know, I
in your mind, you have
it. Yeah, you know what? I have the forces at hand. We're taking care of it.
Here's what I want to ask you, Roger. Yeah. Roger, do you have a website that's called rogerbaddish.com?
No, I do not.
Well, Lisa has one. It's called,
it's called rogerbaddish.com.
It's called lisawolf.com. And let me just say this. There are 4 trillion. You know how you couldn't say the 1.3
billion? I couldn't even
billion?
Do the billion, right.
Try counting how many. You'll be there till you're 150.
Oh, my
Because that's how many pictures there are of Lisa on her website.
His nose continues to grow,
Lisa.
Right?
Well, she's just trying to get it right, Carl.
LisaWolf.com.
I don't think
just
I can.
To get it right.
Every angle that could be shot of Lisa is on her website. So check it out, folks. What does the website do besides have hundreds of thousands of pictures of you? Do you have something?
No, that's all.
It's just it?
I just like to showcase photos of myself from every different pose and direction.
Well, you've done a great job
with
it. Yeah, it's every position, every pose.
Okay, that's sounding
black and white,
a little
sepia,
not clean.
Color.
Practice makes perfect.
That's right. Well, you know what?
Let's keep this clean.
Let's all go there. LisaWolf.com.
Let's check it out.
Let's all
go there. Come on, Roger. Let's go.
Yeah, go ahead. You go ahead, Carl. We're going to go there. Go ahead and do your thing.
It'll make her very happy.
Oh, I'm really happy right now, Carl.
In this hour, we're going to tune into a great sci-fi adventure on Escape. It's called The Time Machine by H.G. Wells from 1948. That's coming your way. But first, it's time for our Celebrity Scoop segment.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming thriller Mojave about a suicidal artist who goes into the desert where he finds his doppelganger, a homicidal drifter.
Wow, you did that very well.
Thank you. I would have not
been able to say that word without messing it up.
That's you, and I'm me. So.
Right. Okay, well, very good. All right, if you know who this celebrity is, you'll win a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's, the number to call 312-981-7200. Now, here's a hint. In 1997, he starred in a drama called Boogie Nights that catapulted him to leading man status.
Everyone's given one special thing, right? Everyone's blessed with one special thing. I want you to know I plan on being a star. Big, bright, shining star.
If you know who that is, call us 312-981-7200. Win a pizza. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, Carl's favorite game. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Everyone's given one special thing, right? Everyone's blessed with one special thing. I want you to know I plan on being a star. Big, bright, shining star.
Let's talk to Kathy from Franklin Park. Hey, Kathy.
Hi, Mark Wahlberg.
Yes, you are right. It is Mark Wahlberg, and he was fantastic in Boogie Nights, and I'm sure he will be fantastic in Mojave, which sounds really cool. But either way, you are a big winner, Kathy. You've won a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, a terrific pizza and pasta restaurant. You can visit one of their 42 Chicagoland locations and check them out at loumalnati's.com. Does that sound delicious or what?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thanks,
Kathy. Thanks for tuning in to the WGN Radio Theater. We're here every Saturday night and every Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. in the morning, 3 hours each night. You get 6 classic radio shows over the weekend, and we are now going to tune in to Escape. Sound good, Lisa?
Oh, that sounds terrific.
Escape was radio's greatest series of high adventure and mystery. It came to radio in 1947. It ran 7 seasons. William Conrad, who played Cannon on television. He was also Nero Wolfe on television, your uncle.
My uncle Nero.
Nero Wolfe.
Yes.
And Paul Frees, another great voice actor, were the voices of Escape. They often played roles, too. And Escape was the cousin to Suspense. It didn't have the star power, though, of Suspense or the budget. And it had very few sponsors. It's really weird. It was a great series that had very few sponsors on it. And they used radio's best supporting actors like Harry Bartell and Joseph Kearns, Ben Wright, John Daner in the starring roles. And the bio of it was tired of the everyday grind, ever dream of a life of romantic adventure, want to get away from it all, we offer you Escape. And that's what we have for you now. This Escape is a sci-fi drama, one of the best. It's by H.G. Wells, and it stars Eric Rolfe, also in the cast, Jeff Corey and Kay Brinker. Here's a May 9th, 1948 episode of The Time Machine, Part 1 now, of Escape.
Escape! You are rushing forward through time, far into the future, trying desperately to flee the clutching fingers of a band of night creatures, a dreamlike horror from which there seems no escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. Tonight we escape to the year 100,080. And to a world where beauty and terror live side by side, as H.G. Wells described it in his immortal story, The Time Machine.
You must be mad, Dudley. A time machine.
Yes, my friend. A time machine.
This thing?
This very thing.
Well, this contraption, this whatever it is, made of quartz and brass and ivory, with its levers and dials and its seat in the middle. This is the result of 3 years' hard work?
I promise you, Fowler, that on this machine, a man can go wherever he likes in time. By working these levers, a man can choose his century, his year, his very day.
Oh, that's impossible. It's out of the question.
In one of the journeys I've already taken on this little contraption.
Well, I'm afraid you're having a bad dream.
You mean I've developed into a liar? Very well, you shall have proof, my friend.
Oh.
Just climb on, Fowler. Sit in a seat with me. I'll take you for a little spin.
You mean right now?
Right now.
Well, just in case it should work, aren't there any preparations we should make?
No, Fallon. You won't need any luggage on this trip, not even a toothbrush. You'll be back in less than a minute.
All right. I'm on. Now what?
Hold tight, because it sways a good deal. I'd hate to lose you.
Well, I can't be frightened, Dudley.
Then you're braver than I am. Tell me, what time is it?
It's just 12 noon.
Before we start, I want to adjust this control a bit.
Is everything shipshape?
Oh, yes. Tell me, did you notice anything just then?
Only a noise, a humming noise, nothing else.
And what time is it?
You just asked me, old man. It's... That's funny.
What?
My watch says 11 o'clock. I could have sworn it was noon a moment ago. Must be something wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with the watch. It's only that I touched the lever to test it. And we've gone forward a full day. 23 hours at any rate.
Dudley.
Have you finished scoffing, Fowler?
Yes, I believe I have.
Then hold tight. This will be the real article.
I'm ready, Dudley.
Good man. Well, say goodbye, Fowler. Say goodbye to 1948.
We went off with a shattering jar. With machines swaying under us, the walls of Dr. Dudley's laboratory suddenly fell away, and night was speeding after day like the flapping of a black wing. I saw the sun hopping across the sky, leaping swiftly across it every second and every second marking a day. I saw the moon spinning through her quarters like a ball, from new to full, all in the twinkling of an eye. Trees grew and blossomed like puffs of smoke and then passed away, and all the while we were going faster, and now our pace was a year a second. So that second by second, the white snow flashed across the world and was followed by the bright, brief spring. And still we went on into the future.
How do you feel, Fowler?
Sort of weak and very dizzy.
Don't let go. Don't fall off.
Where are we? How far have we come?
We're in 100,000 and 50 and 60 and 70.
That's enough. Stop it, Dudley. I can't stand anymore. Stop it.
Fowler, are you all right?
Yeah, I believe so. No, broken bones. What happened?
I'm not sure. I must have stopped too suddenly.
Where are we, Dudley?
Look around for yourself. On a wide lawn, in a beautiful, vast garden.
I meant geographically.
Just where we were when we started. We're standing exactly on the spot where my laboratory stood 100,000 years ago.
And the year?
100,080.
Seemed absolutely incredible. A dream, but a pleasant one. For the garden in which we found ourselves was beautiful and summery and inviting. At some distance, we could see a large, imposing building. All was quiet and peaceful, almost too much so. And the sense of strangeness, of incredible strangeness, sent a shiver up my spine.
100,080.
Dudley. Dudley. Have you thought what we might find here? What manner of man? What danger?
I don't see any men at all.
Well, perhaps they don't exist at all anymore. If they do, what are they like? How have they developed?
There's been a long interval between us, more than 100,000 years. We won't know until we see them.
And then it may be too late. Suppose the race has lost its manliness and has become a savage animal.
Do you want to go back?
Yes, Dudley, I'm frightened. Let's go back.
Dudley! From over there in the bushes.
It sounded human.
Come on.
But Dudley, we don't have any weapons.
Come on.
Oh, it's a child. Look, it seems to be a very small girl.
There's been a beast here of some kind. It struggled with her. Look at the marks on her arms.
See here, my dear. You'll be all right now. You won't be harmed. Oh, of course, she wouldn't understand English.
I don't think it's that. She's motioning us to go with her. I don't believe they have any language at all, Dudley.
What about the animal? Did you see
her? No, not a glimpse. It was too fast for us.
Perhaps we'd better go back, Dudley. The girl seems to be all right now.
Leave her like this. Without seeing her people and the way they live? You want to go back so soon?
Yeah, I've had enough.
Well, they haven't, old man. Because they're here. All around us.
They had crept up on soundless feet to surround us, the little people of this era. And the girl we'd saved was not a child, but a full-grown woman. For they all stood 4 feet high, dressed in simple tunics, beautiful creatures, but terribly frail, with a plump, soft kind of frailty. Their mouths were small, and their little chins ran to a point, and they made no sound. They were like eerie figures in a dream, and all we could hear was the heavy rustling of their clothes as they surged happily around us, their faces wreathed in smiles. Why, they're not savage at all. They're very loving and gentle little people.
Yes, but there's something terribly wrong with them.
How do you mean?
They seem to have the minds of 5-year-olds. This one over here has been trying to talk to me with gestures. Look at him. He seems to be asking me if I've come from the sun or a thunderstorm.
How did you expect him to be?
Far ahead of us, of course. Incredibly ahead of us in knowledge and in science. And look at them. Children.
Oh, they seem happy in this huge garden of theirs. That's something. I've changed my mind, Dudley. Maybe we shall enjoy spending a few days with our little friends. The little people led us home into their valley. They lived in colossal buildings, sleeping all together in one huge hall, eating in another, playing and frolicking together in the sunshine, and Dudley and I lived with them for days in utter contentment. One afternoon, we walked together along the banks of the great river.
There's no apparent difference among the sexes. They all wear the same clothes, have the same soft, hairless skin, same feminine roundness of limbs.
Yeah. I wonder if it's because they're vegetarians.
They're vegetarians because they have to be. You haven't run across any horses or dogs or cattle of any kind, have you?
No, now that you mention it.
The good reason. They're all extinct by now. Just as the dinosaur is with us.
Dudley, there's something very strange here. Something hidden away and silent.
You may be right. Anyway, I've taken the precaution of removing the controls from the machine. I don't much fancy the idea of someone riding away with it into another century and leaving us here for the rest of our lives.
Dudley, do you recognize this bit of ground?
Why, yes, this is where we landed.
I thought so. I wasn't sure.
Why do you ask?
Can't you see? Look around. It's empty. What's happened to the machine?
They've taken it away. They've stolen it.
Where, Dudley?
Where? Look. See the tracks where they've dragged it? Over here. Come along. Right here. By this monument, the end of the trail.
Those are brass doors in the base, and they're locked.
The machine, it must be in there, inside. We must get it straight down the doors.
How can we?
Here, we use the levers.
Oh, it's no good, Dudley. They're solid. We'll never break through.
Never? Never? Do you mean stay here for all our lives? Do you mean never go home again? They must open the machine, the time machine.
The time machine was gone. The brass doors of the monument held. Our retreat was cut off, a thin line by which we could make our way back home, back to our own time and our own people. But there seemed nothing we could do. We had no way of communicating with the little people, of asking what they had done with the machine and why and how to get it back. They merely stood around and watched our vain efforts. There was nothing hostile in their attitude. They were more like simple, wondering children. Only one, the young woman, Weena, whose life we had saved on our first day, had become really friendly. She went with us wherever we walked and brought us presents of garlands of flowers, slept near us at night in the hall, and we in turn had taught her a few words of English. Now, we redoubled our efforts, like men racing against a clock, so that we might speak to her and discover the secret of our immense loss.
No, not these, Dudley. No.
How could you be so sure that your people didn't steal the machine? Aren't there any thieves among them? Are they all perfect?
That's a lot, Dudley. You awaken them. Besides, she doesn't understand.
But the thief must be sleeping somewhere in this hall. Weena, they take machine.
No, Dudley. No.
Who then? Who? We are friends.
Yes. Yes, friends.
We need, must have machine.
Yes, Dudley. Yes.
Who took machine? Are there other people not yours?
Others?
What about those doors, Weena? Doors. Open.
No. Oh, no.
Weena, machine in there must open.
No. No, not open.
All right, my dear. Go to sleep. Get some rest.
Yes, Dudley. Sleep.
You too, Fowler. Try, anyway.
Yeah, I've tried. It's no good.
What's to become of us, Fowler? Are we caught here in this century? Should we spend our lives with the little people and their secret?
Try to sleep, Dudley. We'll go back to the monument tomorrow. We'll find a way of breaking in. Dudley?
Yes?
Did you just... There it is again. What? Something on my face, cold and filthy to the touch. On my face and in my hair, cold as death. Dudley!
You're right, my boy. There's something in here with us.
I smell of the grave. What was it?
I don't know. But look at them. The little people are all awake.
It's as though they've been stampeded.
Let's get out of here. I want some fresh air.
All right, let's take a break right here on this episode of Escape from May 9th, 1948. That's the Time Machine, and we'll get back to that in just a moment. Let's take a short break, then Lisa and I will return. Let's tune this in. It's part two of the Time Machine on Escape.
We went quickly through the hall and outside, away from the frantic rustling of the little people and into silence. The moon was full just overhead, and it was close to dawning. There was a faint sound speeding close behind us, and we turned, our nerves ragged and our muscles tensed. But it was only Weena coming swiftly to join us.
Weena, come closer, my girl.
Dudley.
Tell us, what do your people fear? What makes them afraid?
Afraid? Darkness.
Then there is something.
What do you mean, darkness?
Dark things. Dark places. Night.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
Why should they be afraid of the night, Dudley?
Perhaps it's not the night alone. Dark places. That's our cue. Perhaps it's something underground.
By now it was light, another day. We had wandered into a lovely wooded place about a mile from the community. Suddenly, Weena screamed.
Dudley.
We stopped short. A pair of glaring eyes was fixed upon us. As we stood there petrified, the thing, a little ape-like figure, rushed across our path and disappeared in a clearing about 30 yards away.
Fool!
What was it?
I couldn't see it too well. It seemed to be dull white, with white hair in its head and down its back.
Looked like a small ape.
That's because it was running on all fours or with its arms held very low.
Weena, what's the matter?
Morlocks. They are... Morlocks.
Who are the Morlocks? What are they? Weena, tell me.
No, go away.
Let's go over there and see where it disappeared.
In the clearing, we found a round, well-like opening. I leaned over and looked down a deep shaft, and as I did so, I saw a small white creature retreating down a ladder in the well. Something like a human spider. Its large, bright eyes watching me as it went swiftly down, and then it disappeared in the shaft.
Paula, did you see it? Like an ape?
Yeah, but like a man.
So there are two species of men in this world. Hey, Paula.
Yes?
The little people above the ground, and this obscene thing, this bleached monster below. Two races of men in this country.
That white look. It's common to animals that live in the dark, like huge rats, like worms that are cold to the touch. I know because they've touched me.
You can feel air being sucked down into the shaft.
Yes.
The earth must be tunneled enormously here under our feet. And these monsters live in the tunnels.
I think we know now who stole our time machine.
Yes, I'm sure of it.
Then
we'll go down and have a look.
No, don't go.
Why not, Weena?
Warlocks, you never come back.
We've got to have our machine, my dear. You wait for us here.
No.
But we went down, our heels ringing on the small metallic bars that were meant for creatures so much smaller than we. Down we climbed, down, down, ever in darkness. Down, it seemed, into the center of the earth, into the core of the world. How much longer?
We won't know till we reach bottom.
Could only stop and rest.
It can't be much further.
I'm so terribly tired.
Hang on, old man. You hear that? Like machinery, we're almost there.
Well, thank heaven for that.
All right, Fowler. I'm at the bottom. Come along, just a few more steps. Give me your hand, Fowler. Good. We're here.
Yeah. In the land of the Morlocks.
You have a match?
Yeah. Yeah.
There seems to be a large vaulted cavern at the end of the passage.
What do you suppose they'll do if they catch us?
I've no idea, so we'd better take care not to get caught. Another match.
That throbbing noise.
It's probably the ventilating system pumping air down. There must be thousands upon thousands of these Morlocks living under the earth.
And we haven't seen any yet, except for our friend who came down ahead of us. Why do you suppose they wanted our time machine?
I think they wanted us, Dudley, not the machine.
And we've come to them.
We must. It's our only chance. Paolo, if that noise does come from air pumps,
no.
Why is it so stuffy here? So oppressive.
Dudley, that smell.
Blood. Light another match. Dudley, look.
Straight ahead on the white metal table.
It's set for a meal.
Yes, with a big chunk of bloody meat.
And we know that cattle are extinct.
What do they feed on, these Morlocks?
Don't you know?
I guess I do.
Another match.
All right, Dudley? Dudley? I haven't got any more. We've used our last match.
All right, we'll have to go back there then. We know the secret now anyway. The Morlocks living here underground are the masters of this age. And our friends up above, fatted cattle, fed by the Morlocks, clothed and supplied and housed until the day when they're cut out from the herd and brought underground as food. This is the future you're looking at. This is what we men of the 20th century shall come to.
Dudley, what is it?
I felt hands, cold hands.
Take one of these levers. Use it as a weapon. Lash out. Against the wall. Fowler, here beside me.
Dudley, what do we do?
Do! Fight them! Tell, use your lever, man, like this!
Dudley, they're all around us.
This way, Fowler, this way. Back this way!
We went back in that evil darkness, fighting every step as we went, back to those projecting bars, kicking and clawing ourselves loose from their pallid, grasping hands and climbing up again toward daylight and freedom, away from their stench and the eagerness of their icy hands. And they didn't follow, for daylight was their enemy and their great fear. And we lived among the lush gardens of the gentle little people like prisoners, like men without reprieve, like men who are dead, while they still walk the earth. For the time machine was locked away behind great brass doors, and we knew we could never force them open. Then, one day, Weena told us of an old building, an ancient staggering structure that had survived through many ages and was filled with many curious objects.
A museum. That's what it must be, a museum, Fowler. Perhaps from some earlier time.
Oh, I'm in no mood to go looking at a museum.
But don't you see? Specimens are hermetically sealed in museums. Perhaps there are things, weapons, machinery, something we could use.
Oh, sure. If we could find some dynamite or gunpowder or something.
We could blast those doors. We could get in.
Where is this place, Weena? This old building that no one ever goes near.
I take you, Paula. Be it not far.
A chance, old man. A slim chance, but a chance nonetheless.
All day we've wandered through the great ruined halls. The building had been deserted and in disuse for perhaps a century. The childlike men of that time had long since ceased to care about anything but their own personal comforts. It was late afternoon and growing dark when we came upon the chemical section. We'd found nothing useful to us until then. And now came the worst disappointment of all.
And it's dust, all of it. It's been dust for centuries.
Another dead end. It's hopeless.
We were out of our heads to hope that nitrates would retain their form for 100,000 years.
We better go, if nothing here.
Now wait just a moment. There's something in this case.
You can break it with your lever.
Stand back a little.
Hallelujah, a box of matches hermetically sealed.
Perfect. Not even damn.
And what should we do with them? Burn down those brass doors?
Better keep them anyway. At least we can smoke again. And you can't tell.
Fowler.
Yeah?
On the floor. See them? Small, narrow footprints leading away into the darkness at the end of the gallery.
Dudley.
We'd better go.
Pick Queen up and carry him. We'll have to run for it.
Don't be frightened, my dear. It'll be all right.
Go on, run!
We came out of the gloom of that place into the deeper gloom of dust. Suddenly, we saw we were trapped. All around us were the Morlocks. Over there were the Thousand, surrounding us and coming closer, a long, even line of deathly white, their eyes blinking in the half-light, and their tiny mouths alive with appetite.
The matches, Dudley. Light a fire here. The forest is dry.
Good. We'll have an inferno here in a minute, and our little friends don't like light or heat.
The fire leaped high to the heavens and the countryside was ablaze. The Morlocks turned in fear, blinded by the glare. Some of them burned into the middle of the raging flames, and the rest faded away like a fog. Dudley had left a narrow passageway for our retreat, and we fled down a long corridor of leaping flames and blistering heat. We fled to safety. We fled back toward the community of the little people. And as we ran, we passed the huge monument with its great bronze doors that were locked tight on our time machine. And suddenly, in the glare of the distant fires, we saw something that stopped us short.
They're open! Fowler, the doors are open!
No! No, not go in, Dudley, no!
It's a trap. They're ready for us inside.
Ready or not, we're going in!
Dudley, it's suicide.
It'll take me about 1 minute to screw the levers in again. Then I touch them and we're away.
All right. I'll try to give you your 1 minute.
Good boy.
No. No, go. Not leave me.
You, my dear, you hold tight around my neck. You're coming home with us.
All right, let's go. We're in. Look! The machine. They haven't harmed it.
I don't see them.
Yet. Come on, quickly. Give me that other lever.
Doors, Dudley, they're closed.
Get in the seat. I'll be ready in a minute.
I waited for the hum that would signal our departure, and there in the darkness, the Morlocks were finally upon us. Cold, persistent fingers swarmed over my body, tugging at me, sucking me away from the machine, but I held tight to Weena as a man holds fast to life, and tried to kick them away with my feet.
Oh,
hurry, Dudley! Hurry!
I can't seem to get these levers.
Quick, or we're done.
Just... another turn, and it's... There, Fowler. We're away. We're gone.
Yeah, we made it.
You all right?
I'm all right.
Good. And Weena?
Weena isn't with us.
What happened?
They tore her from my hands the last minute they got her.
I tried to save her. I couldn't.
I know, old man. I still got a piece of her tunic here in my fist.
A little piece of her tunic, Dudley. But nothing else.
And so we came home again. Back into the very minute from which we had left. Back into 12 noon, May 9th. 1948. We were in Dudley's laboratory again, motionless, sitting on the ridiculous contraption which he called a time machine. Was it all a dream? A mad and feverish dream. Did any of it happen? Could any of it happen? No, of course not. How stupid. Then... what's this? What of this jagged piece of thick green silk I hold in my hand? What does that mean?
Escape, produced and directed by Norman MacDonald, tonight brought you The Time Machine by H.G. Wells, adapted for radio by Irving Ravitch, with Eric Rolfe as Fowler, Jeff Corey as Dudley, and Kay Brinker as Weena. The musical score was conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Next week, we escape with another great story of high adventure by one of the world's best-known authors. Good night, then, until this same time next week, when once again we offer you Escape. This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Escape right there. They often had great sci-fi stories on Escape, but Escape generally had dramas, but once in a while they'd do a Western. They were, Escape was a lot like Suspense. They had all kinds of genres on there, all in the mystery, sci-fi type of thing. Once in a while, detective or a Western. But that's The Time Machine, starring Eric Rolfe. One of our listeners said that Eric Rolfe and I look a lot alike.
Yes, I can see the resemblance. Yeah. I said that you look like twins, actually.
I've got a lot of twins out there.
Yes.
Yeah. Doppel, what is it?
That's doppelganger.
Doppelgangers.
That's a big word,
I know. May 9th, 1948. The theme music for Escape. Do you know the name of it?
Night on
Bald Mountain. Very good. Not bad.
We've talked about that, actually.
Night on Bald Mountain, yeah. Right. Very good, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl.
All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.